Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, crowd control concerns force Gardaí to ask a Dublin charity to close a queue for food hampers. We'll hear from the Capuchin Centre. Facing into major surgery in the new year, but one young woman is happy that it's finally happening. Brian O'Connell visits the offices of Ireland's Own as the publication marks 120 years on the go. Turkey and stuffing, ham and mustard, do you have a top Christmas sandwich? Well, Chef Mark Moriarty brings us the best, but we'd like some suggestions from you too. Send them in this morning, your festive sandwich favourites, 51551. Also this morning, your personal finance questions answered. Owen McGee will have advice on how to stay savvy over the next few weeks. You can email us todaycb@rte.ie. A reminder of the text line again, 51551. On Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. First, though, this morning, as you've been hearing, a soldier has been killed on a United Nations peacekeeping mission in Lebanon after a convoy of two armoured utility vehicles from the 121st Infantry Battalion travelling to Beirut came under small arms fire last night. Another soldier is in a serious condition, having undergone surgery following the incident. Two others are being treated for minor injuries. President Michael D. Higgins wished those injured a speedy recovery and expressed his deepest sympathies to the soldier who had died as part of the United Nations Interim Forces in Lebanon mission. He said that, as a people, we take great pride in our unbroken record of peacekeeping with the UN. I'm joined firstly on the line by Gerard Guinan, General Secretary of PD4A, representing enlisted personnel in the Defence Forces. Gerard, thank you for joining us this morning. This must be a really difficult day for you and for everyone in the Defence Forces.
Good morning, Claire. Indeed it is. First of all, let me express the thoughts and heartfelt sympathy of the members of PD4A and the wider defence community to the families and friends and comrades of the deceased and the injured. Yeah, shocking news. I only heard about it first thing this morning. And very, very saddened. I think that the whole defence community is in mourning for the loss of one of our own today. Mm-hmm. I know that we've had my phone has lit up from with messages of condolence from all the uniformed services across the public service, from Congress, there's Congress trade unions, it's touched everybody. I think that everybody is saddened to hear the loss of a member, a young man who goes out to defend peace in a foreign state. And we really appreciate all the messages of condolence that's been expressed to us this morning. But really, our thoughts and prayers are with the family of the deceased and the injured.
Of course, and I think everybody would unite in that sentiment. And there'll be supports in place, Gerard, and they're being put in place as we speak. Is that right?
Absolutely. I heard the Minister for Defence and the Taoiseach on the radio this morning and the Chief of Staff. I know that every resource that needs to be brought to bear to help the family of the deceased and the family of the injured will be done. And PD4 will not be found wanting. If anything can be done by PD4, it will be done.
Thankfully, this is a rare incident. And, as the Chief of Staff of the Defence Forces, Lieutenant General Sean Clancy, was saying earlier on Morning Ireland, there are clear processes that kick in now. The personnel support services, as he was saying, critical incidents response. There is a pathway here, isn't there?
A lot of this sort of the measures that will kick into place now are in regulations. I mean, Ireland has a long and proud history of peacekeeping, and unfortunately, this is not the first young member that we've lost in Lebanon. We've lost 47 members previous to this, and we do have the processes and procedures in place to put her arms around the families and of the deceased and the injured.
Now, I know that details are still emerging in terms of what happened. Gerard, what are you aware of so far? Because there has been mention by the authorities of small arms fire.
Yeah, I'm no more aware than anybody, really. I mean, I know that the Defence Force Press Office have been on to me this morning. They've been very, very helpful in giving me some details of the incident. But more than what the Chief of Staff has already expressed, I don't know, or the Minister. I believe that it was an administrative convoy travelling between our main camp and Beirut, and that there was... one of the cars got separated and a mob surrounded the car and this incident happened, tragic incident happened.
All right, Gerard, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for joining us, and for representing all of the people involved in PD Fora who are feeling this loss so acutely today. Bel True is an international correspondent with the London Independent who is currently based in Beirut, and Bel is on the line now. Bel, thank you for taking our call. You've been in touch with UNIFIL this morning. What are they saying?
Well, they're saying at the moment that the details of the incident are conflicting and sparse. That's a direct quote from the spokesperson. But they did ask, because there have been some videos that have been shared online on Lebanese social media accounts that are unverified, showing what looks like an overturned vehicle and a wounded soldier next to it. So I did ask the UNIFIL spokesperson whether the car did overturn, and he did say that he understood that's what happened. What we do believe that happened is essentially that one of the cars did get separated. It did come under, as you said, small arms fire by a mob. And what social media accounts in Lebanon are saying is that a group in this town, Agbia, basically claimed to be angry at the UNIFIL for deviating off its course. This is, of course, all unverified information, but that's what the sort of chat in Lebanon is about what happened.
Okay, and we don't have any information about that deviation. As Gerard Guinan was explaining there, he understands that this convoy was travelling from the main camp to Beirut on an administrative mission. That's all we know at the moment. But in general terms, how are these UN missions seen by locals in Lebanon?
So in the south, it's a very difficult part of the country. It's obviously on the border with Israel. There's a long history of conflict between fighters in Lebanon and the Israeli military. UNIFIL has come under attack before. This is the first death, I understand, since 2007, when there was a bomb blast in the south of the country. But there was an attack on peacekeeping troops, Irish peacekeeping troops, in January of this year. And there was an attack on a Finnish group in December of 2021. So it's not the first time this has happened. These attacks do occur, but obviously it's not usually leading to a death. So it's very difficult in the south. Very often local communities will, claim to be angry at UNIFIL for allegedly taking photos. All the way through, the UN has said that these, claims are not correct. They're keeping to their standard, paths. They are doing their work as they are supposed to do. But the tensions are very high in the south, and there have been instances before in the past. Just unfortunately, this one appears to have been a deadly one.
Is it clear at this point that this wasn't a Hezbollah attack?
At the moment, we have no confirmation about what happened, but I would be very skeptical of any accusations that this was a Hezbollah attack. I do not believe that's what happened. What I gathering from different pieces of information, it looks like it was locals in a town who were angered by the convoy's presence and then attacked it. I don't think this was a targeted attack on the UN, and it does follow previous different instances that have happened, like I said, in January and December, where convoys have come under attack from people throwing rocks, people stopping the convoys on the road. So I don't think this is anything to do with Hezbollah, but at the moment we don't have any confirmation yet, and we're still waiting for the investigation and the details to come out.
Bel, thank you very much for joining us from Beirut there. That's Bel True. Conor Gallagher is crime and security correspondent with the Irish Times and is also on the line. Conor, good morning and thank you for joining us. Will you talk us through what you know so far and what you've been hearing from the Irish authorities?
Well, what we know, as your previous speaker said there, is sparse and at times contradictory. So, but what we can be quite sure of is that this was an administrative convoy. It was bringing two soldiers to Beirut airport, and those soldiers were to be repatriated home on humanitarian basis. They had recently suffered a bereavement in the family, so they were being allowed to go home for a
a few days, so the convoy was going up. It was two, they're called armoured utility vehicles, and the untrained eye, they just look like jeeps, but they are armoured, and they are in UN, you know, in the white UN markings. So they left the Irish area of operations, which is down right at the south of the country on the border with Israel, and travelled up north through the area of operations to this route, this long-established route from the UN sector to Beirut airport. And it seems about 12 kilometres after they left the UN area of operations, they entered this village or town where the path was blocked by vehicles and people, and some of those people were armed. One of the vehicles managed, the Irish vehicles managed to get away. The other one was shot at and seems to have crashed or crashed into a shop and turned over. What happened after that, we just don't know. We know that one of the soldiers was tragically killed, only a young man. He's only been in the Defence Forces a couple of years, as I understand it. And the other was seriously injured, and the two other guys were suffered more minor injuries. So all three of the, all four of them were taken to, I believe it's pronounced Ray Hospital, which is located just about 10 minutes drive away. Mm-hmm. And they were treated there. The seriously injured man was underwent surgery, which stabilised his condition to a certain degree, but he's still in critical condition. But it does look like he will pull through, thankfully. And the other two were being treated. But then they were since moved. They were only moved this morning to another UN-controlled hospital, which was just considered prudent. Given the tension in the area, they felt that they would be more secure in that location. So the Defence Forces haven't released the identity of the deceased yet. I'm sure that will be released later. His family are aware, though, as I understand it. But, yeah, there is a lot of details we don't know. And as your previous speaker said there, this was Hezbollah-controlled territory, but no indication that this was a Hezbollah attack.
Well, just on that, again, Conor, as you're speaking, a statement has come in to Reuters from Hezbollah. We offer our condolences, they say. This is from a senior Hezbollah official. After an unintentional incident that led to the death of a UNIFIL soldier in Lebanon. So that's just in from Hezbollah in the last couple of minutes as you were speaking, Conor. But what's material here is that this is a Hezbollah-controlled area.
That's right. And yeah, I suppose little would happen without their say-so. And I know the wording in that statement is quite strange, an unintended incident. So, I mean, we'll have to drill more into that throughout the day.
Okay, actually, there's more to that statement that I see here. It goes on to say that it should not be inserted into the incident. It says that it took place solely between the town's residents and UNIFIL.
I see. Yeah. Well, there has been a lot of tension in that area and on this route. And there has been a lot of tension between the UNIFIL troops and locals in the area. And with the Security Council earlier this year updating the mandate for UNIFIL in the area. And actually, it kind of made the mandate a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. That caused a lot of anger in the area. Drew some strong criticism from Hezbollah as well. And there has been other attacks, thankfully none of them fatal. So tensions have been building, and they've been they've been exacerbated by the really, really terrible economic situation in the country. Oh, it is the country on the brink in terms of social services and related matters.
Conor, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for bringing us all of that detail. Conor Gallagher from the Irish Times. Cathal Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South, is with us too, and thank you for speaking to us. You're also, of course, a former member of the Defence Forces. So firstly, as a former Army Ranger, it must be very difficult for you hearing this news when this is a member of the Defence Forces family we're talking about.
Yeah, good morning, Claire. You look at very, very grim news for the entire defence community this morning, and obviously devastating news for the family concerned. Yeah, look, but the soldiers out there, they're not just colleagues, they're comrades, and a comrade is a much deeper professional relationship, so it will affect the entire defence community, but at home and overseas, and the families as well this morning.
And President Michael D. Higgins echoed that in his statement. He said, "We must never forget the dangers that come with this work or how the members of our defence forces serving on peacekeeping missions abroad risk their lives every day in order to build and maintain peace in conflict zones across the world." Do you think, Cathal, sometimes that those who are not so acutely aware of what that is like forget that sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair as well, members of the defence forces, they do play down the risk. They don't want to unduly worry their family. And this culture of being a humble hero is very much embedded in defence force culture. So, yes, I mean, there's a reason why we have 333 Irish troops deployed to Lebanon at the moment, because it is a very volatile area and it needs the Irish presence there to stabilise it and make sure the situation doesn't escalate.
Just listening to Conor there on the further detail that he brought us, you know, the reason for this mission was administrative, but it was to take two other members of the Defence Forces back for compassionate leave. They were returning to Ireland for a couple of days because they had a family bereavement. It just compounds the tragedy of this.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a compassionate, again, mission. I mean, this would happen maybe every fortnight or 3 weeks. You have soldiers out there who might be going home for the birth of their first kid, for instance, or a death of a very close family relative. So this would happen as a matter of routine. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, last night, circumstances took a turn for the worst. And look, we noticed that a World Cup match, a soccer match on last night, and so there was large crowds around. It appears that the very small Irish convoy of two armoured vehicles came across one of these crowds, which turned into a mob, and unfortunately they took fire as a result.
We spoke earlier on with Gerard Guinan about the supports that are in place now. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What happens now in terms of the investigation and the support for those comrades, as you say, who've been impacted by this?
Yeah, just from a support point of view, so the military, the armed forces, they do have counsellors, they have psychologists, and they have a psychiatrist as well. But I suppose more importantly, they really have a very good peer-to-peer support network, which would be very, very effective under these circumstances. From an investigation perspective, I understand there's about three investigations going on at the moment. It's been launched this morning. So we have the Lebanese authorities will be doing an investigation, obviously the United Nations authorities, and also the Irish authorities at the moment. My understanding is that there's military police, UN military police and Irish military police on the site of the incident currently, and they're conducting investigations.
Cathal Berry, thank you for joining us this morning. Independent TD for Kildare South, and our sympathies from everybody here to the family of that soldier who so sadly lost his life last night, and our thoughts too with the family of the soldier who is still receiving treatment in hospital and all of the people who have been affected by that very sad incident in Lebanon. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.